Welcome to today's message from Refuge Point Church. We would love for you to join us for one of our exciting worship gatherings each Sunday at either 9:30 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. We're located right off of I-85 in downtown West Point, Georgia. For more information, check us out online at www.refugepointchurch.org, or you can download our church app by searching for Refuge Point Church in iTunes or Google Play. Now, here's today's message.
Good morning. That was still awkward the second time. And call my whole name out. My name is Trey, not Tremont. How y'all doing this morning? Well, this is my second time coming before Refuge Point, and I was nervous the first service. I was like an old Chevy. You had to crank me up and let me warm up. I think I'm a little bit warm now. And we're going to get into the Word. How was Thanksgiving?
Great. Great.
You had a good time with your family?
Yeah.
Good, good. Why y'all so quiet?
How are you?
It was good. Thank you, Willie. Thank you. Thank you. Time is ticking. I got 30 minutes. I'm going to use my time wisely. I'm going to try to get through these 13 verses I have. That's a lot, but it's 67,000 and something in the Bible, so we're only going to touch a few of them today. This year has been a good year. We're coming to the end of it. And Pastor Matthew Judson and Stan have preached some tremendous words from this very spot that I'm standing in. And it has touched my life more than any other year, any other messages I heard all my life. And one of the things that was talked about, the will of God for our life, but we'll get into that in a minute. But one of the scriptures I want to start off with is Ezekiel 33, 2 verse 9. Let's read that. The question was posed to me about some months ago, are we responsible for the salvation of our brothers and sisters? Amen. Are we responsible? Yes. And I came across this scripture and I read it that night I didn't sleep at all. I cried. I really did cry. I do cry. Do y'all cry? I cried. It made me feel bad about who I am as a follower of Christ. So let's read Ezekiel 33, verse 2 through 9.
Son of man, speak to your people and tell them, suppose I bring the sword against the land, and the people of that land select a man from among them, appointing him as their watchman. And suppose he sees the sword coming against the land and blows his trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet but ignores the warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his death will be his own fault. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but ignored the warning, his death is his own fault. If he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. However, suppose the watchman sees the sword coming but doesn't blow the trumpet so that the people aren't warned, and the sword comes and takes away their lives. Then they have been taken away because of their iniquity. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. As for you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, wicked one, you will surely die, but you do not speak out to warn him about his way, that wicked person will die for his iniquity. Yet I will hold you responsible for his blood. But if you warn a wicked person to turn from his way and he doesn't turn from it, he will die of his iniquity, but you will have rescued yourself.
Amen. Lord, did you hear the word? Yeah. We'll get back to that in a minute. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things we heard this year. The will of God. Matthew preached on the will of God some months ago, and it really changed me. He talked about the perfect will of God, or the sovereign will of God, which is hidden from us. And one of the examples in the Bible is Joseph. His brothers threw him in a pit. He was taken from the pit to a prison. Then he was promoted to second in command in Egypt. That was hidden from him. He had no idea what was going on in his life. It was the perfect will of God just to save his people from famine. That is awesome. That's one of the wills of God. And the reveal will to God, the command will to God, is the written word. This word right here, the command written word of God. We got a choice. We can ignore it. We can disobey it. Okay. We can do whatever we want to with it. But it's still his written command word for our life. Amen. Something we should be walking by and living by. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 7 and 21. What is the will of God for our life? What should we be doing? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven.
The will, the command will. Matthew 7, 21. We supposed to be doing the command will of God. We can't do the sovereign will. That's God's will. That's God's place. That's all on him, his control. But the command and written word, we're supposed to be obeying it. Let's get to another scripture. I got about 13 of them. I got a little bit of time left. I'm going to try to use it very wisely. Let's go to Matthew. Where we at here? I told y'all I'm like a Chevy. I got to warm up. I may have my notes out of order, but we're going to get through it. Okay. Matthew, hold on a minute. Y'all bear with me. Mimi, you got the notes over there. Yeah, go with that. Matthew 28:19. I'm sorry.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
And that's what Christ told us to do. That's one of his wills, his written, out of his written word that we're supposed to be doing, going and make disciples. Who all is going out making disciples? Right. Witnessing, sharing the word of God to people, right. Your family members, people you meet on the street, people that come into your world, anybody. No one raising a hand but a few. Okay, I see some hands out there. Thank you, thank you. Y'all are doing the written word of God, the command will of God, the will for your life. Y'all are doing it. Thank you. But we're not doing it enough. Okay. We're not doing it enough. Okay. We make all kinds of excuses on why we're not doing it. Okay. Why we're not going out witnessing. Well, I don't know the word. I don't know what to say. Well, I can't read. I can't read that good either, but we got audio books. They can read it for you. They can teach it to you. We got YouTube. We got Twitter. We got Instagram, we got all kind of social media stuff that we supposed to use for the benefit and the furthering of the gospel. We're not using it for that. What we're using it for is one of the things Stan teached on this year, about wasting time. We use that stuff to waste time. Okay. And I'm the master of wasting time. I mean, I can watch movies all day long. Can y'all? Yeah. All day. I can binge on Walking Dead. I try to stay kept up so I won't have to binge. But yeah, it's a shame that we spend so much time in these things that distract us from Christ. And I read some statistics this year that said that they have spent $26 billion on social media. $26 billion. It's not to better our lives. It's only to distract us from the will of God. And they will distract you. And I'm just going to say this on a side note. If you don't have one of these, get one. Because that phone... If you're trying to go through the phone reading your word, you're going to get a text, you're going to get a notification, and you're going to be distracted. And you're not going to stay in it and study. So get you a Bible, a real tangible Bible so you can study. But, yeah, we waste time. We waste money on a lot of stuff. I got a TV in every room in my house, every room. I got a travel trailer. I got a TV in just about every room of that. Even when I go camping, I got a TV that I put outside. It's crazy, ain't it? We spend all our time doing that. And I read another statistic that said that the average person in America will spend 7 years and 8 months watching TV in their lifetime. That's a lot of TV. I may be doing a little bit more because I got one in every room, so I'm watching a whole lot more TV than everybody else. Shame on me. Shame on me. And I told my girl, I'm sorry that I brought them up like that. TV in every room, computers, phones, just all kind of distractions. when I should have been in the Word more with them, teaching them the Word of God so they can go out and witness and spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into why I'm really here. We talked about some of the stuff we heard this year. Let's go to Job chapter 14 and 5. We don't have a lot of time to waste. We think we do. We think we're going to live almost forever. Let's read it.
Since a person's days are determined and the number of his months depend on you, and since you have set limits, he cannot pass.
Y'all know what that's saying? That's saying that your days are numbered. Your appointment with death is already set. You cannot live 1 minute past it. Time is ticking in every one of our lives. And we have to get the gospel out because Jesus, his return is set. And we're in the season of Advent right now. We're waiting on his return. I mean, anxiously, I am. I don't know about you all, but I got another example right here. This is not the waiting we're supposed to be doing. Just sitting here waiting. I did. Waiting on the Lord. We're supposed to be busy about the Father's business.
Amen.
Doing his will. What is his will? To go. To spread the gospel. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Your time is already set now. You don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. And Jesus is coming. So we need to be busy redeeming the time that we have wasted. How do we redeem the time? Turning off the TV. Aaron talking about selling his TV. Anybody want to buy it? But getting rid of some of this stuff that are distractions. I mean, seriously, cutting the phone off sometime. Cutting the TVs off, the video games. Put some of this stuff down. We got to be busy. Because when he comes, we need to be busy. Yes, Willie, yes. Let's go to Ephesians, verse 5, 15, and 17. I was kind of torn on what to teach y'all or what to say to you all, and I said, I'm going to go to a lot of scriptures. I'm going to give you the Word of God. Pastor Matthew always asks me, what's the title? I'm like, I don't know a title. So I asked the girls and my wife last night, what should the title be? And Mira, my youngest daughter, the crazy one, she said that the sermon should be Hot Christians. Hot Christians. I don't know why she said that, but the title of this sermon is Just One More. No, not Hot Christian. Just One More. That's the title of this sermon. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17.
Pay careful attention, then, to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.
There it is again. Understand what the Lord's will is.
Okay.
The Lord's will is to go, to teach, to preach the gospel. It's not Pastor Matthew's job to go into the world and spread the gospel. Is his disciples' job. Who are his disciples? I am. I'm one of them. Are you?
Yeah.
So we're supposed to go and preach the gospel. Why are we not doing it? Do we not love him?
Yes, I do.
Do we love him? Yes. Because this right here is what we stand on this. We believe this. Everything that a Christian life is wrapped up in this. And you should want the people you love to experience the Christ that you serve. I got family members I know that are not saved. That potentially will go to hell if they don't hear the Word of God. And they won't hear it on the TV because they're not going to turn to a Christian station. They're not going to hear it on the radio. They're not going to do that. How are they going to hear it? Through us.
Yep.
We got to go. This is not going to get it. Us just coming in church, sitting, hearing the Word, and going out and just whatever. Good sermon. Don't tell me the sermon was good. Bring some people in, and I know it was good.
Okay.
When you go out and minister and people start coming, I know it's good. Sorry. Y'all forgive me. I wasn't trying to be harsh. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, 19 and 20. I love you guys.
Amen. We love you too.
Thank you. Thank you, Matthew. I got one lover in the house.
Amen.
Anyway, get your mind out the gutter. I meant that. That's my wife. I love you. Y'all are crazy. Let's get back to the word. Mark 16, 19, and 20. Okay. Come on, baby.
So the Lord Jesus, after speaking to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the accompanying signs.
They went out immediately after he left and preached everywhere. The Lord was with them. Why are we not going? We are a no-go. We are no-go. I mean, what's going on? Are we scared? Are we ashamed? What is it? Are we lazy? Selfish? I mean, I'm lazy. I'm an elder here. I may feel like staying at home on Wednesday when we have prayer. And if I feel like staying at home, I'm going to stay at home. That's not good. We're not called to worry about our feelings. We're called to preach the gospel, be here together praying for the vision of this church, for our community. We want to reach the community, don't we? We're going to have to come together and pray.
Amen.
If I feel like working in the nursery, I will. If I don't, I won't, because that's how most of us are.
Okay.
If we feel like doing something, we'll do it. If we don't, we don't.
Okay.
But we're Christians. We're followers of Christ. Where are we following him to? Where? Ask yourself that question. What are we doing as Christians? Are we doing his will? His will is to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel. Why are we not doing it? And I keep asking the same question to myself all the time. Why don't I do it more? Why am I not intentional about doing it? You got to be intentional about it. Me and my wife sometimes try to say we're going to go out this weekend and we're going to go to this person's house, that person's house, and talk to them about the word. That's intention. You got to be intentional. I know it's hard to talk to Uncle Buck because he's mean and he don't want to hear the word last time I tried to talk to him, but you still got to push it. You got to talk to him. You got to keep talking to him. You got to love him. I didn't say judge him. I said love him.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to Aunt Susie? She's mean too. But you still got to talk to her. You're getting ready to go around a lot of family this season right here. And some of them not saved. And they need to hear the word. The only way they're going to hear it is through you. That's right, Willow. That's right. Come on out here and preach with me. Let's go to Romans 10, 13, and 14. Now watch my time here. Got a lot more scriptures to cover.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you, Willow. Y'all already ate.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
I just told y'all that, didn't I? Now that's the word saying it. Don't believe me, believe the word.
Okay.
They're not going to know unless you tell them.
Right.
They're not going to know unless they hear it from you. Not the preacher, yeah, preacher. We all are preachers. Preach the word of God. He said go and preach, not pastor. We got to get out of here. We got to get out of these chairs and these four walls and spread the gospel. Because there's too many empty chairs in here. That means there are a lot of lost souls out there that should be in these chairs. Now, like I said earlier, I don't know if we're ashamed of Christ. And I know some of us probably, we're probably ashamed. And we're going to go to this stuff. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Now, my daughter started a new job about a month ago, Nisha. And I told her when you start a job, do not go on that job acting like Jason Bourne. I mean, she slips in. I'm not saying she does. Just slip in and out, undetected. Been on the job 6 months, 6 years. People don't even know you're saved.
Amen.
They don't even know you follow Christ.
Okay.
That's a problem. That is a serious problem when people on your job don't even know you're saved. You listen to what they have to say about everything off the wall. But when it comes down to it, you can't open your mouth. Are you ashamed? There are consequences for being ashamed of Christ.
Amen.
Go ahead, baby.
Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven.
Amen.
That is a strong word also.
Yes,
if you're denying him, meaning you're in the midst of sinners, and you fail to even mention your Father, don't even want to introduce your Father to them, but they told you everything about their sinful life, all their dirty jokes, but you won't even introduce the Father to them. So they can come out of that.
Okay.
We're saved, though. We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. But we're not doing the will of God. We're not spreading the gospel.
Amen.
We have to get about the Father's business.
Okay.
I know it's tough, but we got to do it. It's not easy to just go out and witness. It's not easy. But we have to do it. God is with us. He said he'll be with us even to the ends of the age. Let's go to Romans 10:9-10. Babe, read that in the King James, please.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
He believeth unto righteousness with thy mouth, with thy heart. Now I looked at the word unto. It means until. Unto righteousness. And you confess. Confessions are made unto or until salvation. Salvation is coming. He's coming to save us. He's coming back to get us. And the confessions are made. What confessions? The confession of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not this one time I went to the altar and I said the Lord's Prayer, I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart and I'm saved. That didn't get it. That didn't do it. The confessions is what does it. The belief does it. And the confession together until the end. Confessing the Lord Jesus all the way to the end of your life, all the way until he comes. Not just making a confession at the altar one time and saying that's it. I'm saved because I was there. I did it 20 years ago. My mom said, you're not saved. I said, I said the prayer. I read this. I said it. And I did nothing else but read it and confess it and thought I might have believed it. But I didn't do it. Thank you, Willie. That's one of them. That's one of my scriptures. You've been in my book. Because I heard that you seen somebody plaid shirt this morning. Is that true? Okay. I'm waiting on God to do it for you.
Amen.
People, this word is strong. It is real strong. And some of these scriptures, I cried when I read them. Because I know for my life, I haven't done the things that God is going to be looking for when he gets here. I wasn't busy enough for him. So when he came, he'll see me working. He'll see me being about his business. Back years ago, he would have caught me watching TV. All day long, all day, not using my gifts for him. I heard Pastor Matthew say something about a yard and a subdivision not being cut, and it brings the value of the subdivision down when you don't keep your yard up. And he said when you sit in a church with gifts and talents and you don't use them, you bring the value of the church down. We're sitting here with gifts and talents, and when we need something done here, we are always scraping the bottom, needing help, needing help, needing help. We shouldn't need any help. The people of God are here. It should be covered.
Okay.
It should be covered. We're bringing the value of the church down by sitting here not doing anything but churching. We're real churchy. We're real churchy. But we need to be about the Father's business. I'm sorry, y'all. I love you. I really love you. Let's go to James 2, 14 and 17. Now, 1K2020, who are all familiar with that? That's 1,000 souls by 2020. How are they going to get here? We believe it. Now, hold on. We believe it. I believe what he said that God told him. I believe it. And I know y'all believe it. I believe it with everything in me that it's going to happen because God said it. Do y'all believe it?
Yes.
It's not going to happen just because we believe it. That's not going to get it. Because I believe at the beginning of the year, seriously, not joking, that I was going to have a six-pack. I got on a big shirt this morning, which tell you I don't have it. I don't have it. Because I can, the speedometer on my calorie count has rolled over 2 times this year. On my calorie intake and my carbs, it's rolling over. I just keep eating stuff I shouldn't eat. I hadn't did but 10 crunches all year. I hadn't did anything. Hadn't put any works toward it. Nothing. But I still believe it. Just read that. Stop laughing at me, Donald.
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone.
Dead. Your faith is dead. What faith? What's dead? What's dead? Your faith is dead. Your belief is dead. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died and you don't go and confess the word and confess and spread the gospel, that belief is dead in him. That's what the word just said. If you're not confessing and you're not witnessing, you're not spreading the gospel, your belief and your faith is dead. Without works, it is dead. It was hard for me to swallow when I read it. I didn't want to swallow that one scripture. And I'm telling you, that one scripture alone has disturbed me more than anything. We got to be confessing the Lord Jesus until the end. Until the end. Let's go and read Ezekiel 33 and 29 again before I close because my time is almost out. And I was thinking about that Georgia and Auburn. I didn't want to bring this up. But I know Pastor Matthew, he's the pastor, and he's kind of salty about it. He's real salty. I'm sorry, I love you. Now, no one had any problem on recognizing which side you was on yesterday. No one had any problem recognizing that. Even my brother back here has his Georgia shirt on today. Yeah, he's representing. People should have no... Well, you crazy. People should have no problem. Y'all come on back in, no? Come on. People should have no problem on recognizing which side we're on. They should know we're followers of Christ. They should know it. They should see us out witnessing, wondering, why are they doing that? What are they talking about? I was at a pawn shop and seen one of my friends from years ago, and he was like, how you doing? We chopped it up. I said, man, you got a relationship with Christ? He said, oh, I heard about him. I'm like, wow, you heard about it. I told him, I got his number. I said, I need you to experience him. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk through it. I'm going to talk through it with him and get him to the place where he needs to be. He's my age. He said, I heard about him. What is that? Don't you think everybody should have already heard about Christ by now?
Amen.
If we were doing our job, it would be really an amen.
Amen.
I mean, if we was really doing our job, it shouldn't be no one in our world that should not be saved or shouldn't I have already heard the word of God. My wife is almost sometimes all in competition with me. We go somewhere, we talking to somebody, they start joking and jiving, they came into our world at that point. They're comfortable with us. And we have one here today with his family that this an example. I was in a doctor's office, and this guy started chopping it up, and he was joking and jiving. And next thing, my wife said, you got a relationship with Christ? She didn't give me time to say anything. You got a relationship with Christ? I guess she want a full robe when she get to heaven. She don't want the short shirt. She want a full robe. She want a good reward when she get there for the soul she led to Christ. And he's here today with his family. He said, yes, I do. And he is a man of God.
Amen.
And I thank God for him, his family coming. But that's what we should be doing. We should be, when somebody come into your world, spread the gospel. Not telling you to go out amongst all the nations just in your world. Throw a pebble in the pond and it'll make a ripple and it'll keep going and people keep spreading the word. But you got to be sincere about it. You got to know the word in order to teach it. You got to have a fire inside of you. And I guarantee you the TV, the internet, none of this stuff is going to build that fire within you. The word of God is going to light that fire in you.
Okay.
Come in here. Giving your time, giving your talent, that's going to light the fire. If you don't know your talent, get dedicated and motivated to the house of God, and it will reveal itself. It'll reveal itself. I'm getting ready to close. Y'all can come on. Because I think that you've heard enough of the word, and I pray that you go home and you do your own studies. Don't take my word for it. Do your own studies on this.
Amen.
Because we got a job to do.
Yeah,
we got to win souls for Christ, because we don't have much. Oh, Lord, my time out. See, we don't have much time. It happened suddenly on me. It ran out before I even knew, and I was trying. The last summer, I was right on time. It ran out so fast. Time was just gone. It's gone.
Son of man, speak to your people and tell them, suppose I bring the word against the land, and the people of that land select a man from among them, appointing him as their watchman. And suppose he sees the sword coming against the land and blows his trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet but ignores the warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his death will be his own fault. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but ignored the warning, his death is his own fault. If he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. However, suppose the watchman sees the sword coming, but doesn't blow the trumpet, so that the people aren't warned, and the sword comes and takes away their lives. Then they have been taken away because of their iniquity. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood.
Y'all heard it again. We will be accountable unto God if we do not sound off the word of God. We got to go. If we don't go, we're going to be accountable. And I can't give an account for that. I don't want to. I don't want to stand before Christ. He asked me why. Why didn't I? When I know the word, I've heard the word, I've read the word, it's been preached to me, I know what I should be doing. I'm going to make a better decision. I'm going to do what he said do. And I pray that y'all are with me. My sermon title was One More. Y'all watch, I know y'all watch movies because I know I watch a lot of them. The movie Hacksaw Ridge, who all seen it? It's an awesome, powerful movie. Me and my daughter watched it and she said, that'll preach. And this guy, Desmond Doss, little puny guy in the military, he saved I gave him one more credit on the last sermon I should have. He saved 75 soldiers, wounded soldiers, in that battle in a matter of like 4 or 5 hours. Tying a rope to his waist, tying the rope to those guys and lowering them down all night long. He didn't know whether or not he was going to die in the process, but he didn't care. He said he prayed every time he saved one. He said, Lord, if I could just get one more, if I could just save one more. And he kept on and on until he saved 75 lost souls. That's what we should want to do. Just get one more before our time runs out. Because the time is already set. We can't change it. We can't do anything about it. So let's get busy, people. Let's pray. Lord, I said all you told me to say. And Lord, I pray that the love that your people have for other people will compel them to go out.
Thanks for tuning in to Refuge Point Church's broadcast. We hope you were both challenged and encouraged by today's message. We would love for you to join us at one of our exciting worship gatherings each Sunday at either 9:30 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. We're located right off of I-85 in downtown West Point, Georgia. For more information, check us out online at www.refugepointchurch.org, or you can download our church app by searching for Refuge Point Church in iTunes or Google Play.